To today's sermon passage from Acts, chapter 15, verses 32 to 41. Acts 15, verses 32 to 41. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. May our most gracious triune Lord bless the reading of his holy and living word.
Thank you, Sandra Callen. I want to pray one more time here, just again. Lord God, I just ask you to open up the word. Speak to our hearts, our minds. Lord, help us to believe these truths. Lord, I just ask you, I beg of you, to change us through these truths. Lord, again, in spite of me, you would be proclaimed, you'd be seen, you'd be known, you'd be discovered new and afresh this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the author Luke here continues his wonderful account here of this new church that's maybe, I don't know how many years old it is now. Started in Pentecost. It's spreading now. We know that Barnabas and Paul were the first, went on that first missionary journey sent out by the church at Antioch. And now we have here the second, and most of you in the back of your Bibles have those missionary journeys of Paul. This is Paul's second missionary journey that he's going to be starting now. Scholars play out that he had about four. I guess the fourth one would be his journey to Rome eventually. But last week, we looked in Acts again, the importance of staying doctrinally pure. They had this massive church council called the Jerusalem Council, in which they dealt with false teaching and some heretical teaching. And they came together, and each time we know that God made sure that biblical orthodoxy ruled the day, which is crucial. And we looked at how they came up with their decision and the process and the pattern that brought them to a correct decision. And again, last week we looked at how do you and I make right biblical decisions and so on and so forth. So, which moves us into today's text. And I would tell you this, that everyone, I would tell you, needs encouragement. And the big question this morning for all of us is, what kind of encouragement do you need? What kind of encouragement do I need? What kind of encouragement do we all need? How are you personally encouraged and strengthened? I can ask you that question this morning. How are you personally encouraged and strengthened? No doubt we would have a variety of responses from each of us this morning. We might say, "I'm encouraged when I win the lottery. I'm greatly encouraged. I'm encouraged and strengthened when my husband surprises me with a romantic getaway. You know that. I'm encouraged every time the twins win. You know, I'm encouraged when people say all sorts of nice things about me. I'm encouraged when my spouse prepares my favorite meal. I'm encouraged, this is a big one now, when I reach the 500 mark for friends on Facebook. You know, that's a big one. Or I'm really encouraged when I delete all my friends on Facebook. If you think it through, often we limit our ideas of encouragement to some positive statements that are supposedly needed in order to build up one's self-esteem. Simple little phrases like, way to go, keep it up, you're the greatest, you can do it. You know, we use those all the time. And they all have their place, but is that what we find being described here in this text this morning? Because the beginning of this text, I would say on both ends are sandwiched are the words being strengthened and encouraged. In the middle, there's strength and encouragement. And we need to all find spiritual encouragement. But is it the right kind of encouragement? We find that these churches, these early churches, were being encouraged and strengthened and motivated. In what way were they being strengthened? In what way were they being encouraged? How does God use, or what, I should say, what does God use to strengthen and encourage his church? So when you look at this text this morning, open up your scriptures, please. You all have Bibles there in front of you. I want you to see this. I just don't want you to take my opinion for granted here. But at the text again, it says that in verse 32, it starts out here, that these prophets, Judas and Silas, these two men that traveled from Jerusalem with Paul and so on to talk about at this Jerusalem council, and they came eventually back to Antioch to discuss the issues with them. And it says that they, in verse 32, that they, these prophets, it said, encouraged and strengthened the church, or the brothers, or the brethren, it says, with many words. The section ends up again in verse 41. It's Paul traveling through Syria and Cilicia. It says, strengthening the churches. And so when we find that in the text, what comes to mind? What is the overarching theme that we should find here? When you see those words in the text, it's not talking about, you know, way to go, good job, I'm proud of you, you're the greatest. It's talking about the theme here, the overarching theme is talking about spiritual growth, depth, maturity. It's talking about becoming more and more like Christ. And in other words, what does God use to build and mature and grow up his church? How does, and that's it's this big eight-cylinder term again, how does that sanctification process take place in each of our lives? I hope, I pray that all of you here desire to grow up in Jesus Christ. I pray that is your heartbeat, because I'm concerned if it's not. I really am. And so this morning, if you want to grab your worship folders, we're going to look at three kinds of faithful encouragement. Three kinds of faithful encouragement. We are encouraged, and you don't have to look too far again, and most of you are going to go, okay, I've heard this before. But it's there in the text. It's continually in the text. It's so redundant, we should be, again, overwhelmed by it, but we maybe are getting so used to it. But we are encouraged by his faithful word, by the word of God. We are encouraged by his faithful word. God, again, we see in this text, uses his sovereign means of grace, using his faithful word to bring about life change and spiritual renewal to these churches. God's word is always meant to be, hear me on this, a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. Again, we see here, and they, as they read it, in verse 31 it says, they rejoiced greatly because of its encouragement. What did they read? They read a letter that had some biblical truth on it in regards to this dealing with this heresy, this heretical teaching. It says they were all encouraged. This whole assembly gathered, the entire church gathered, and they were encouraged by it. Again, in verse 32, it says that Judas and Silas, these prophets, It says we're encouraging them and strengthening the brothers or the brethren. When you see brothers there, don't think it's just limiting male. It is talking about male and female, the entire church again, gathered together. And it says that these guys, these men, these mighty men of God, were encouraging and strengthening them, it says, with what again? It says with many words. Some versions would say with a lengthy message, basically with the word of God. They were preaching and teaching the scriptures to them, the truths and realities again of Jesus Christ. Again, we find in the end of this section, this chapter, verse 41, again, I guarantee you that they were strengthening the churches with the word of God. We find in verse 35, it says that Paul and Barnabas, they remained at Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. And here's what's exciting, with many others also. In other words, the ministry is expanding. It's just not these guys that are doing the teaching only. Others are getting involved with the teaching ministry, with the teaching and preaching, the studying, the learning of the word. We are encouraged by God's word. It is the greatest place to go that I know of to be encouraged by. And everyone in our country has in their possession the opportunity for the Bible. We can buy Bibles freely in multiple versions, and yet so often across our world, this globe, many people don't have the word. They don't have that great word of encouragement to the point where they're smuggling it in right now. I get the Voice of the Martyrs. It's a great little magazine. And again, it's crazy what they're doing to smuggle in a few Bibles. But they'll risk their lives so that others can hear the message, the truth, and reality of Jesus Christ. There's so many verses in regards to the encouragement of the Word and Scripture. Again, let me read a few here to you. 1 Thessalonians 3:2 says, "And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." 2 Timothy 4:2, some of you know, have heard this before. It says, "Preach the word." It says, "Be ready in and out of season." And what do you do with that word? It says you use it to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort or encourage with great patience and instruction. 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13 says this, "We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. The word of God, which is at work in you believers." Incredible encouragement. And notice how often, if you did a study on this, you'll find God's word and gospel in the same sentence with strengthen, encourage, exhort, and those forms of those words all the time. We need to pay attention to that. And ultimately, it's a no-brainer here. It is God, through his word, who is doing the strengthening and encouraging of his people through the work of his spirit. A few more verses here. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not," this is God speaking, "for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me," again, God speaking to Paul, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Philippians 4:13, this one is one that's an easy one to memorize. I've memorized this one for years. "I can do all things through Christ, who what? Strengthens me." Again, true biblical encouragement, and we need to understand the difference between true biblical encouragement and what I would call false, empty, useless words of whatever, flattery. True biblical encouragement is lasting. It's eternal. It will accomplish what it's meant to do. It will never come back empty or void. Faithless words, beloved, are empty and useless words. They're good for nothing. And words can either build us up or tear us down. It's a fascinating study, but these propositional truths that they're declaring here is making a difference in people's lives. In the same section, if you just go up a few verses, it says it in verse 24, I believe, that it says here, some have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you. I'm hoping most of your versions say this. How are they troubled? If you look at that. With what? With words. See, words can tear us down, trouble us, demean us, crush our spirits, or words can what? Build us up, encourage us, strengthen us, change us, and transform us. Just in words, just in what comes out from our lips, our tongues. In fact, it says these words that they were saying in verse 24 were unsettling their minds. And now Paul and these down in these later verses, that they're using words that are strengthening their hearts, that are strengthening their minds. Again, false flattery is temporal. It's not eternal. Doesn't build and strengthen the heart. It enlarges and inflates our heads. It creates these egotistical, prideful monsters. True biblical words of encouragement create humble, persevering, staying the course saints. Whereas false flattery makes for this consumeristic, individualistic, what's in it for me kind of church shopping, hopping mentality. True biblical words of encouragement are Christ-centered and not me-centered. Self-inflating flattery is an empty puff, if I can, of nonsense. It's just puff. It's just here and blows away and it's gone. It's useless. It truly is. And we need to be encouraged, continually encouraged, and constantly encouraged by God's word through the working of His Spirit. Let's look at the next kind of faithful encouragement, as we are encouraged not only by His faithful word, we are encouraged by His faithful people, by His faithful people. The entire church family, and that's all of us, is called to encourage and strengthen and build one another up in the faith. Did you know that? That's your call. That's my call. It's not meant for just one person to say, okay, you know. No, everyone here is meant to encourage and build each other and strengthen each other in the faith. We need it. It should be contagious. It should be part of our DNA. It should be on our lips all the time. We should really discuss and talk and encourage each other in the Word, in the truths and the realities of Jesus Christ. More so than when we talk about the twins or fishing or scrapbooking or whatever is out there today that people like to talk about. We need to be encouragers and an encouraging people. These mighty men of God were mighty men of God. And why were they mighty men of God? Because they were faithful to God. They were faithful to their call. They were faithful to their God-given responsibilities. They followed through on their commitments. They didn't quit. They persevered. They stayed the course. They fought the good fight. They took very, very serious the call of making disciples. They took very, very serious the charge to spiritual growth, to development, to maturity, to encouraging, and to strengthening the entire flock, the entire family of God. We should find that in our midst all the time. That's who we are. They were not lazy, haphazard, or undisciplined spiritual encouragers and disciple makers. Look at this text with me further. It says in verse 33, it says, after they had spent some time, Luke is very purposeful here. It says they spent some time. What did they spend some time doing? What was it they were spending their time doing? It says, the previous verse, they were spending their time encouraging and strengthening the brothers and sisters with the word. That's what they're spending their time doing. Again, in verse 35, it says this, and Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. Again, we see them spending time. What were they spending time doing? Encouraging them in the word. Then we have in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas, it says very intentional here, remained in Antioch. Look at that sentence. What does it say? They remained in Antioch doing what? What did they remain in Antioch doing? What does the text say, beloved? It says they remained there teaching and preaching what? The word of the Lord, the word of God. Again, they take this very serious. They understand, again, how true disciples of Jesus Christ are truly made. And then it says in verse 36 that after some days and some time, we don't know how long they spent in Antioch, Paul says to Barnabas, now this is an amazing verse here, look at it with me. It says, let us return and visit the churches or the brothers and sisters in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. See how they are. What does that sentence mean? See how they're what? What does that mean? See how what? See how they're doing. See how they're doing spiritually. They want to know, they want to take a spiritual pulse of these people. They want to know how they're developing. They want to know how they're maturing. They want to know if they're growing up in Jesus. They want to know if they're being conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. Very, and here's what, as you look at this too, it says, let's go back. I mean, this is mind-boggling. We can read this and gloss over this, okay? I don't want you to miss this. Let's go back and follow up on these churches that we planted. Let's go back and follow up on these disciples that came to Christ. They took serious. It's a continuous thing, this process, this lifetime process of discipleship. It's not a hit and miss thing here. You see what's going on? It's very intentional how we grow up in Jesus. And we need one another to get there. And yet, it says that let's go back. Now, go back to where? Do you remember what happened to Paul and Barnabas? Let's go back to where we were persecuted and stoned and left for dead. Are you crazy? That's how serious the charge was to them. That's how serious they took the call. That's how much they loved making discipleship. And as you read that, I'm being obviously sarcastic here, because I can. Doesn't discipleship and spiritual growth and the shepherding care of the church appear to be so very inconvenient to Paul? I mean, I don't want to go back. No, it's not inconvenient at all. But and I don't know. I think these things about these things, but if you and I get to heaven and we run into the Apostle Paul, which we will, what would you say to him? Seriously, what would you say to him, as it says in verse, I think, 26, him who risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, him for the glory and honor of Christ and love of Christ, risked their lives in order to make disciples. What would you say to him? I mean, you know, would you say, you know, gosh, you know, I know you did what you did back then, Paul, but for me, this whole Christian thing, it's a little bit inconvenient. I just don't have the time to pray, you know. I just really can't get into loving my neighbor, you know, like I'm told to do. It's just, I really don't want to gather with the saints on the Lord's Day because it's just, I got other things on my to-do list, man. It's, you know, would you say that to Paul? No, of course not. I think of so many martyrs that have gone on before us. And they risked it all for the sake and glory of Christ. And yet you and I, we find so many excuses, and I'm pointing fingers at me too, that church is inconvenient. We got this and that. We got so much stuff going. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, which is the scriptures. For he, God, who promised, is faithful. And let us now, it says, consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day is that? The day that the Lord comes back. Hallelujah. Get here now, Jesus. I want him. But it says each day, daily, we are to encourage one another as we see the day drawing near. Time is running out. There's a sense of urgency in that verse I just read. A desperation. We got to get it done. We got to get it done now. Romans 1 is one of the great verses, I think, on what I believe to be true fellowship. Romans 1, verses 11 and 2, for I long to see you. Paul said, I long to see you. He just longs to be with them. And why? So that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He couldn't wait to get in the midst of that church in Rome to just interact with them, to edify them, to strengthen them, and vice versa, that they would strengthen him and encourage him. They would get into the Word. They'd get on their knees. They'd pray. They'd evangelize. They'd do that gospel thing. You know, he couldn't wait. I hope that's your heart. You can't wait to gather together to be encouragement to one another. I have to ask all of us, do you and I really have a heartfelt concern for the spiritual welfare and growth and encouragement of one another in this family we call common ground? Does that describe you? Do you really care if I read my Bible or not? Do you have any concern for that for me? Do you really care if I pray or not, or share the gospel or not? Do you really care how I treat my wife and my children, or friend and foe? Do you have any concern at all for that in my life? Are we truly faithful, gospel-driven encouragers of one another? The scriptures are very plain that says if you are born again, you are given gifts, talents, abilities. And it says that you are to use those for what? Always, it says that we are to use them for what? For the edification, for the building, for the encouraging, for the strengthening of the body of Christ. We need to be about that. All of us. It should be just contagious in our midst. We are to be encouraged by his faithful word. We are to be encouraged by his faithful people. And third point, this is a big one. I'm going to have a sip of water right now because I can. We are encouraged to be faithful. We are encouraged to be faithful. We are encouraged to remain faithful to God and the sovereign means he alone is determined to bring about this for spiritual growth, for spiritual depth, for spiritual maturity. We are called to be faithful. What does that mean? We are called to be responsible, each of us, for our own spiritual growth and development. We have to hold ourselves first, in a sense, accountable for our spiritual development. It doesn't happen through osmosis. We don't just sit around with this Bible closed and have it close to us and lay on, you know, fall asleep with it and think that oh, yep, it's filtering in. No, it takes work. It takes study. It says study diligently the scriptures, to show thyself approved unto God, who need not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. It's work. We need to be faithful. In other words, when God charges us or commands us or calls us to do something, guess what we should do? We should what? Do it. And how, with what? Joy and exuberance and excitement. How were these churches strengthened and encouraged? The reason that they were strengthened and encouraged is not just because, be it Paul or Barnabas or Silas or this Judas or the other teachers or leaders in the church were giving them words of encouragement, but here's key. Here's the key. Here's why these churches were being strengthened and encouraged. They were being what? Receptive to those words of encouragement. They were teachable. They were humble. They were responding to the gospel. They were wanting and desiring spiritual growth. With a humble and teachable heart, they were being strengthened and encouraged and built up in Jesus Christ. Our lives, our hearts, our churches become changed and transformed. Now hear me on this. As we choose to allow God's word and spirit to flow in and through our lives, as we allow God's word to take a shot at us, as we allow others to speak into our lives the truth and reality of Christ, and again, I've said it before, even in those hard-to-reach areas, even in those uncomfortable scenarios and situations, we don't do well when people confront us, do we, with truth. Now, let me ask you this. Is all encouragement always spun in the positive? Is all encouragement meant to be spun in the positive? Can there be times where encouragement is still encouragement, but I may need a kick in the pants, right? I may need a rebuke, right? I may need some reproof, right? Can that still be an opportunity to be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Again, it's more than just saying, good job, Gare. Way to go, Gare. You're awesome, Gare. There's only one awesome. His name is God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Amen? Again, our lives and hearts are changed as we allow God's word to come through the working of His Spirit. And again, facetiously, sarcastically, I mean, how many here this morning thoroughly enjoy a mediocre, ho-hum Christianity? You know, how many here are perfectly satisfied, perfectly and completely satisfied where you are in your spiritual growth, depth, and maturity? How many of you are just totally relaxed, totally comfortable, just getting by with Jesus, not too many expectations? You know, no one really holding you accountable, just kind of coasting through with very little change. Is that what you're aiming for? How many here like making excuses for why God's sovereign means of grace are found very little in your life, or in some cases, not at all? Does that describe any of us? Obviously, I pray it doesn't. And yet so often as I look across the churches, not just ours, I see so much ho-hum Christianity. I see so much lethargic, who cares, I'm busy, 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 I don't have time. If you've ever read the Screwtape Letters, anyone read that by C.S. Lewis? Thank you. We have a few. Have you read it? And if you remember what Satan and his little pal had out, he said, here's what we'll do. It's not about, you know, their one strategy was this. This is the main strategy. I'm going to ruin the book for you now, but this is the main strategy. It's this. Let's just keep them so busy. That was it. Let's just keep them so busy. So busy that they don't have time for anything else. And it seems to work in our country pretty well. We need to take the charge of spiritual growth and depth and maturity very serious. We need to be encouraged to be faithful ourselves. I know some of you know this. I worked for 15 years in Native American ministry, and we went to this one particular reservation for 10 straight years. And there was one of the missionaries up there, a great guy, good friend now today, Mark Salmela is his name. And he wanted to rub elbows. He wanted to get to know the Native American guys up there. And they're a tough lot. And it really is a tough ministry. It really is. In fact, is they're like the number two hardest to reach with the gospel in the world, behind some radical Muslim type scenarios. Yet we have seen great fruit too in several reservations we've gone into. Amazing, miraculous, God-induced Reformation revival. But Mark wanted to rub elbows with these guys, these Native men, and he realized they would play basketball. They're into sports, and then there's a school up there at the res, and they'd play basketball, and on a particular night of the week, they would all come together, they'd go to the gym, and here's how they chose teams. I don't know basketball that good enough, but except the floor plan of the, you know, and I mean, I know, yeah, you get 2 points for this, then 3 points for that. Yeah, I get that. But, all right, but there's the three-point line, and you're going to have to help me, some of you that play basketball, but it's not the free throw line, but it's outside of the free throw line. There's that circle yet. And is that part of the three-point system, maybe? I don't know, but it's, if you know, there's that loop that comes around, and they had to stand on the outside. Is that 3 points out there, too? Thank you. All right, so here's what they'd do. The guys would show up every night at this whatever night it was to play basketball, and they would have to make the basket from that three-point mark in front of the hoop, and the first team to do that, or the first bunch of guys, and how many, five on a team? Five on each team? So the first 10 guys or whatever it was to make that played, all right? The rest of you guys sat, go home, no good, it's not going to work for you. And whether they did it, I don't know what, to weed out the little kids or whatever, too, that couldn't even make it that far, I don't know. But the bottom line is Mark, my friend Mark, would show up, wouldn't make it, he'd leave, couldn't rub elbows with him, wouldn't hang out with him, and it's like, man, this is bad, this isn't working. So he would sneak into this gym at different hours of the day. And he would practice, he'd practice. He'd take shot after shot after shot. And if you saw Mark, you'd say, no, this guy's not an athlete. He really isn't, and he'd admit it. But he did this intentionally and purposely for what reason? So that he could make disciples of Jesus Christ. And eventually, Mark got really good at it. One day, he shows up, and of course, they're doing the same thing, picking the teams, choosing teams. They're doing it at the same spot, the three-point spot, and Mark's just whoosh, whoosh. He's making the team all the time after this. So he's playing. And guess what? He starts hanging with the guys. And he starts building relationships with the guys. And guess what? Some of these guys eventually come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But the point here is that Mark took very serious, the opportunity to encourage and to strengthen and to build up the body of Christ, whatever means it took. And in like manner, in a very practical way, beloved, we need to be strengthened and encouraged to become more and more like Jesus. In order to do that, it takes hard work. Do you hear that? It takes practice. It takes intentionality. We need to be about the business of growing each other up for the glory of God. We need to be very desperate for heartfelt, serious growth and development in each of our lives to the point that we should be checking on each other to see how we're doing. Honestly. And all of us, kids and adults, can have our faith strengthened and our knowledge broadened and our love for Jesus deepened by devoting ourselves to reading, to studying, to listening, to teaching, to preaching the rich truth that is found on every single page of God's holy written voice. We can't quit. We can't quit. We can't give up. We can't let all these other things detour us and distract us and get us off the straight and narrow means that God has provided for you and I to become all that we need to be for His sake and for His glory. It's everything. And most importantly, hear me on this, please, don't miss this. Most importantly, God's word and gospel will only change us and transform us and encourage us and strengthen us only if Jesus Christ becomes your ultimate pursuit and passion. Do you hear that? Otherwise, you will end up having just some sort of friendly advice from another self-improvement course, and Jesus will fade into the background as you go flitting about looking for the next self-induced experience. If Jesus and the glory of God and your love for Christ is not the centerpiece of your heart and mind, all this other stuff I'm telling you this morning, it'll just fade away as something, oh, this is good, this is cool, this might improve me here, this might help me here. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss Him. It's an absolute essential that you become desperate for God. And as you become desperate for God, you'll discover that where you find God is in His means of grace. A fellow pastor writes the following. No doubt the church in the West has many new things to learn, but for the most part, everything we need to learn is what we've already forgotten. The chief theological task now facing the Western church is not to reinvent or to be relevant, but to remember. We must remember the old, old story. We must remember the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. We must remember the truths that spark reformation, revival, regeneration, and renewal. I pray that we would find that right here at Common Ground. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, create in each of us a desperation for You, an urgency for You, a love that is so deep and profound, it changes us, it transforms us, it renews us, it revives us. Lord, bring to us true heartfelt repentance, a true humility, a true teachable heart of wanting what God would want for us. Lord, I ask that for me. Keep me broken and humble. Charge my spiritual batteries, Lord. Fire us all up, Lord. Make us evangelists in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our friends, and even our enemies. Help us to understand the priority of being encouragers to one another, of strengthening one another, of building up one another. Lord, I just ask You to do a work. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know what Your word says, and I believe Your word. Lord, we love You. We need You. In Jesus' name.